Thank you, Rabbi May, and thank you for this privilege of meeting with you this morning. I believe that although I'm used to speaking a lot, many people say too much, but I think this is a very, very special occasion. What I mean is that when you have the opportunity to address mechanchim, mechanchos, rebbeim, and teachers that literally have the responsibility for molding our most precious treasures for the future, for their future lives, for their future participation in Klal Yisrael, then I think that this is really a precious moment where whatever message we can possibly convey can have endless reverberations throughout the year, throughout the generations. And therefore, I consider this a tremendous achrayus, and I'm a little bit concerned about living up to the occasion. But I'll try my best. I think that today we face many serious problems in Chinuch. Could very well be that the people sitting in this room are not fully, maybe only tangentially, aware of the magnitude of the problems, because you're dealing with the younger generation, the youngest of this generation. But as they get older, as they go through high school, as they go even beyond, we see today unprecedented levels of disillusionment, apathy, confusion, even rebellion. And these Zisa Kinderlach that we teach here, who knows what the future is going to hold for them. I'll never forget giving a session for Rebbeim in the Yeshiva Torah Semes in Los Angeles. And on the way out, a Chassidish Rebbe, he was a pre-1A Rebbe, walks me out and starts to cry. What is he crying? He says, these kids were so zis, were so sweet. They were so innocent. They were so beautiful, so sincere. And they come back now riding on their motorcycles with all kinds of piercings and tattoos and who knows what. And he says, he can't take it. He says, what can we do? What's the problem? How can we do better? How can we avoid even one of these tragic occurrences from taking place? And it's really a very serious question. And I would like to, in the short time that we have this morning, or that I have this morning, to try to share with you some ideas that I think could be helpful for now and forevermore. First of all, the concept of chinuch. Rashi's definition, and I just abort the words that are not relevant to us, and that's tchilas knisas odom le'umnes she'osid lamud bo. It's the beginning of the entry of a profession or of a way of life that the person is destined to maintain. As teachers, as rebbeim, as mechanchos, we have to have our eye on the future. What we do now is for the purpose not only of compliance and obedience and performance in the present, but always with that view of how is it going to affect the future. And that means the more excitement, the more passion, the more feeling, the more understanding, the better the connection and the loving relationship that they have with their teachers and their rebbeim, the better the seeds that are planted and beginning to be nurtured that can eventually blossom and remain in the derech that they have started, that we started them off here today, and that hopefully they will continue for the rest of their lives and pass on to their future generations. So I think that, number one, how we deal with them, our relationship with them, the image that we leave them with, The memory that they have of this special teacher, this special Rebbe, this special Mora that was so caring, so loving, so concerned, and I dare say so respectful of us, that can be a major pillar for the future. We all know the power of love. But what we don't know, really, is, I shouldn't say we don't know, we might not know, an obscure halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Kishem shehatalmid chayiv lechabed es horav," just as the Talmud is obligated to give respect to his Rebbe, to his teacher, "Kach harav tzorich lechabed es hatalmid." So too, the same way, I guess of equal importance, is that the Rav, the teacher, respects the student. Now, it does not say chayiv. The Talmud is chayiv to respect the Rav. The teacher is tzorech, needs to respect the student. And I think what that means is, because otherwise you won't have a student. You may have a member of your classroom, you may even have someone sitting there docile and behaving themselves, but a Talmud, one who's nurturing from what you have taught and imbibes it, and it becomes a kinyan nafshis lo'ilam void, that we can't have unless we show them respect. Now, many people wonder about, well, should I stand up when they walk into the room? I don't know, I'm not saying, might not be a bad idea. It'll certainly keep a little more discipline, but that's not the issue. But certainly respect. We respect their feelings in the way we talk with them. We respect their time in the way we burden or overburden them with homework and with assignments and things, not even realizing sometimes that they have so many other things that they also have to do. We respect their space. We respect their space. The way you keep your desk, the way you keep your things, you know, a little bit has to be my business as a student. Not everything is the domain of the teacher. And the more, and we respect your opinion. When you ask a question, we take it seriously. We either answer it or give maybe one of the best answers. I don't know, but I'll find out. And this is a sign of respect. This respect is so critical, and I would like to try to explain why. We know that if you have happy students, if you have happy children, if you have happy people, they're not going anyplace. They're going to stay put. They're going to be here. They're going to be here, maybe not in this building, but they'll be here with us for the rest of their lives. And they'll pass on with passion and fulfillment and happiness this Mesorah to the next generation. What's happiness? Happiness, I believe, is defined by the concept of Osher, Aleph Shin Resh. Aleph Shin Resh, the Sheirish is Yishur, validation. Happiness, and I think this is the best definition that I've ever seen or heard, is feeling good about oneself. I feel valid. I feel good about myself. Love from a Rebbe or a teacher makes me feel good about myself, because why do they love me? Why do they like me so much? Why are they so friendly to me? They must think I have qualities. And respect even more. Why do they respect me? Every time I say something, they listen. When I ask a question, they take it seriously. When I have a problem, they deal with it. They don't overburden me. They don't take me for granted. They don't think they rule my lives. They have respect for me. Must be they see worthiness. And I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if we make our students feel good about themselves, we become the most influential influence on their lives. And therefore, I think that's so, so critical for us to remember that. Make them feel good. Make them feel happy. Show them respect. Show them love. Show them caring. No matter what it is, no matter what we're teaching, no matter what we're doing with them. And they will have, number one, we will have, number one, a very strong influence on them. They will be willing to listen to everything we have to say. And they will have the fondest memories. And today, I deal with situations like this often. An individual who literally hates every influence in his life for all the years, except for one Rebbe in the 7th grade, in the 6th grade, whatever it may be, that he remembers fondly. He was such a mensch. She was so kind. She was so caring, so respectful, so nice. And that can be the hook that we can grab onto this person and manipulate and utilize that and leverage, that's the word I was looking for, not manipulate, forgive me, and leverage that to make a difference in their lives. Because they have something amongst all the negative memories they may have, they have something positive. So we all have to become that positive memory at all costs. That doesn't mean you don't have a structured classroom. That doesn't mean there aren't rules. I would rather call them expectations. That doesn't mean there aren't consequences for the expectations. But let's go lighter on the expectations and heavier on the love and respect, and we will have untold more success in our hashpah and the influence in reaching our students in this way. I'd like to share with you something else that I think is very important. I had a very disturbing experience Friday afternoon and Motzoi Shabbos. Someone who's very, very a Talmud Chochem, a brilliant writer, I'm sure you've all read his stuff, writes some articles for me, whatever. And he wrote something and he sent me the draft. It was beautiful. Except he said, the end of one sentence or one paragraph, and through this, we will be truly able to be true servants, true Avdei Hashem, servants of Hashem. And I called him on it. And I told him, forgive me, Lincoln freed the slaves. Nobody wants to be an Eved. What are you talking about? Isn't that the Tachlis? Yes, it is. But it's the same Tachlis as saying, Shemer Hashem Eskol Eihavov Ve'Eskol HaRashoim, and stopping before you finish the Pasuk. It sends the wrong message. The Pasuk, the sentence should be finished to be true Avdei Hashem, to be able to achieve the highest levels of human development, sensitivity, and perfection, to be able to be worthy and capable of receiving the hatova, the kindness, the chesed, the goodness that Hashem wants to give us, and for which He created the entire world. Now this is not just semantics. This is critical. So many of our people today, even this distinguished Talmud Chochem, who's a brilliant man, have not really paid attention to the full lesson. And what's the difference? And the difference is critical. Are all of these mitzvahs and all of my tefillos and everything that I do, are they for Hashem's benefit? And he needs servants? Or are they for my benefit? And that's an enormous difference. Then I get a call with Soy Shabbos from a young man, a yeshiva bocha learning in Beis Medrash, probably the second year. And he says to me, well, I believe in Hashem. That already was bad news. You have to start like that, I believe in Hashem. But then he says, but I don't get this business. Why does he need avodim? Why does he need servants? And I began to explain to him, he don't need nothing. Not only does he not need anything, there's nothing we can give him. There's no way we can enhance him in any way. And anything that he asks of us is all, as the Torah concludes the Pasuk, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imoch Letoiv Loch. It's all for our benefit. And I think it's such a critical lesson to convey to our students that everything that they're learning and everything that Hashem asks of us and all of our responsibilities and obligations and this total sense of being Eved Hashem is all for our benefit. And I dare say, not only the benefit in the next world. That's too far away for these kids. The benefit is in the here and now. The hatov of Hashem is in the here and now. V'hoyim shemo atishwel mitzvoysai v'nosati mitar hartzicha b'yito yeru malkosh schar v'oinesh in this world. What the Gemara means by schar mitzvah b'hayal molekah means that the ultimate schar, this world doesn't even have the ability to give us the full schar for mitzvahs. But of course, there's so many benefits here. The benefit of closeness to Hashem. The benefit of having a sense of trust in Hashem when we go through the difficulties and the challenges of life. The benefit of having a sense of meaning and purpose. And if happiness is the key, and the definition is feeling good about oneself, how good can I feel about myself without a purpose? But if I know that I have my purpose, if I know the purpose was revealed to me publicly 3,300 years ago at Har Sinai, and if I know that that purpose has been accurately transmitted to this day today, then I know my true purpose. I can truly be happy. And that message has to permeate our classroom from the youngest age throughout forevermore. No matter how much they're learning, no matter how much we're learning, it's so critical to give that l'toiv loch. Everything is for you. I remember being in a school once, and the menahelis of this high school asked me to speak to a student that she was having some problem. This kid had some questions, and she didn't know how to answer her. And what was her question? I spoke to her. Why does Hashem need so much praise? Well, he doesn't. I was shocked that the teacher, the principal, couldn't answer the question. It's all for our benefit. It's all for how we grow. It's all for how we connect with him. It's all how we appreciate him. And it's only if they get that sense of how that works can we truly elevate them and motivate them. Because today we live in a world as if we never did before. It seems from the Sefer HaChinuch that 500 years ago we lived that way. Everybody wants to know what's in it for me. How's it going to benefit me? How's it going to make me happy? And philosophy? That's out. This is not the world. How many people do you know that get PhD in philosophy? This philosophy is out the window. Today it's psychology. It's benefit. It's pleasure. What's in it for me? And the what's in it for me, they can find and they can be taught and they can be shown, can compete with everything else they have out there. Because everything else they have out there is a momentary pleasure. And the only way to have that pleasure continue is to do it again and again and again and again and again and again until you get sick of it, and now what? Whereas Ruchnius, we grow in our connection, in our love, in our appreciation, in our relationship with Hashem. That's something that's eternal. But I'd like to share with you something that to me was almost shocking. At the end of Parshas Kisovoi, there's a Ralbag. The Ralbag in the Toelius, he lists the benefits that we get from the parsha. And I think that if I only came here today to share this message with you, then it might be Kedai. He's going on the Pasuk, Lo'nos na'ashem lochem lev lo das, ve'inayim lirois, ve'inayim lishmoa ada yom hazeh. And the next Pasuk continues, ve'oilich eschem arboim shono bamidbor. So he says to Toelius is as follows. It explains, the Torah explains why Klal Yisrael had to have an extra 40 years in the Midbar. He says, why? The Siva was, because since they were somewhat, you know, on their lofty level of greatness, rebellious, they were giants, this was the Dordea, but for their level, at some place, there was something lacking in that commitment and that dedication, in that Avdus, if you will, and there was something, he says, Ki mamrim espi Hashem yisale, some element, ever so slight, of rebelliousness. They saw these moivsim defloim, wondrous miracles, that should have brought them to recognize Hashem and to be afraid of Him and to be obligated to Him and to follow Him and not to have this merit. Therefore Hashem in His infinite wisdom, they won't achieve that which they have to achieve of their level of perfection, to be worthy to come into Eretz Yisrael, until they have 40 years in the Midbar, and they will have bitmidus, constant, ongoing, every day, these miracles, these niflois, Roitze loymar, yeridas hamon, the mon coming down every day, with simlosim lo bolsam me'aleim, their clothing never getting soiled, veloy veloyna aleim, me'al ragleim, and not their shoes ever getting soiled or ever getting worn out. Zeho yusiba la hashlimom, adje kimat zman, nitzchu sichoy, until this brought them to a level of perfection that then they were able to beat Sichon Anoig, in battle they had the schus. But something very strange is going on here. If you look at the previous psukim, it refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It refers to, I think, even if it doesn't, Kabbalah Satera. These are the people, this is the beginning of the Arboim Shono. These are the people who stood the Har Sinai. These are the people who went through the Yamsuf. These are the people who saw the Nisim and the Floyis in Mitzrayim. That wasn't enough. Nisim Gluyim. It happened to the whole Klal Yisrael. And yet, they needed, because that didn't affect them fully, they needed 40 years of Hashkocha Protis, of Mon at their doorstep every day, V'lechem Yomayim B'yom HaShishi. And every day to look at their clothing and say, oh, my clothing, they're still not dirty, they still didn't get small on me. This is, I still look like the day it was brand new. To live like that, bitmidus, that was critical. Otherwise, they would not be able to achieve their shleimus. Having gone through Mitzrayim and the Yamsuf and stood at Har Sinai, that wasn't enough. They needed this on an ongoing basis for 40 years. I want to suggest that one of the critical ingredients in a tchilas knisas odom, in the beginning of the entry, which means we're not even entering them into the chinuch, we're just beginning the process, is to give them a sense of appreciation for Hashem's Hashkocha Protis. Hashkocha Protis is not enough that I know Maimon Har Sinai. I know there was a Maimon Har Sinai. Imagine if we teach them and they know there was a Maimon Har Sinai. They stood by Har Sinai and that wasn't enough for them. They went through the Yam Suf. The Shivcha saw more than Yechezkel saw b'nevuasoi. They lived the Makos Mitzrayim. That wasn't enough. They had to have 40 years of Nisim Tmidim, of Hashkochas Hashem, the Mon every day on their doorstep, and their clothing there on them personally every single day, not being soiled and growing with them and maintaining that freshness. If not, they would not be able to get beyond this state of mamrim, this state of this mashihu, whatever they had of rebelliousness that they had. Which means that we have to introduce our students to a recognition, to an ability to see the Hashkochas Hashem to such an extent that they'll see it every day in their lives, that they'll see it every minute in their lives, that they'll recognize that everything is Bashkochosoi, that they won't make the mistake to say, I will do, he will do, I'm counting on him, I'm counting on her, I know it, I have it, I this. I think this pandemic taught us all that. We don't know nothing. The doctors don't know, forgive me, even the rabbis don't know. Nobody knows what to do with this matzav. No, so this is such a, but Hashkochas Hashem, it's all Hashem, everything. Just as Rav Chaim Brisker said, every bullet has an address, every virus has an address. Everything in life is Bashgoch Elyoino. And if they know that, if they've been introduced to that, and if they see that, they can continue to see it for the rest of their lives and being mechazik themselves. And it may take them 40 years, it may not take them 40 years, but whatever it does, every one of life's experiences will bring them closer and closer. When they recite the Birchas HaShachar in the morning and they say, Pekeach Ivrim, he opens the eyes of the blind. Oh, I'm not blind, why do I have to make that brocha? If he didn't open your eyes, you'd be blind. He's the Matir Asurim. He allows us to sit up on the bed. What do you mean? I can sit up on the bed, I need him for that. Try it without him, see what happens. And so forth and so on. Everything that they do, every Asher Yotzar, every Bar Nefoshes, every Brocha Rishoyna, Brocha Achroyna, everything. It's all part of this system of coming to recognize that Hashem permeates our entire existence. And that way, they won't be able to say to us, you know, I don't have this relationship with Hashem. I talk to him, but he doesn't answer. He doesn't answer. He created an entire world to answer all of your needs. And the Chachomim added to that brocha so that you should be able to focus on that. And now you have wonderful teachers that are reminding you to recognize the Hashkochas Hashem. When there's something, an Hashkocha protest that happens to you or that happens to one of them, they should know about it. I've seen teachers that have kids, they get them into it, they make a journal of each one reporting some. Some of them are a little bit stretched, but Lamaisa, this is it, to recognize the Yeshuas Hashem, to recognize the Hashgochas Hashem. And it seems from the Ralbad that this is critical, even if they know to the fullest extent, even had they stood there themselves at Har Sinai, but to recognize that Hashem is with us in our lives. He's part of our existence. Everything we do is Bahashgoch El Yoyna. He's constantly there with us. As one Holocaust survivor used to go around lecturing, and when they asked her the question, where was Hashem? And she was a survivor, and she said, he was right here. He was right here. He was right here. And the truth is, Rashi in Tehillim says, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somid. So Rashi explains, how do I manage to put Hashem, the neged einai, and to be constantly beyiras Hashem? He says, because he's always b'kimimini bal emoit. He's always here by my right, not to let me falter. When I feel his presence holding me up in every step of my life, then it's shivisi Hashem l'negdi somid. Then it's, I see Hashem, I feel Hashem, and I recognize Hashem. And as the Orchus Tzadikim says, I'm afraid of Hashem, which he says, what is the yira? I'm afraid to lose that relationship. We have such a close, loving relationship. I feel so close to him. He does so much for me. He's so intimately involved in every aspect of my life that I'm afraid. My yira is, he says, I don't want to lose that relationship. I don't want to lose that love. I don't want to lose that connection. And I think that that's a very, very critical ingredient in if we want to give some yesodos that can do them well for the rest of their lives. I'd just like to mention something before I conclude here. There's one more point which, you know, I'm looking for those things that will reverberate, not for the day, but for the long term. One of the things that is really critical is an emphasis on tikkun hamidos. If kids have a sense of the importance of midos, the importance of molding my character in the image of Hashem, v'holachto bidrochov, and then it'll be v'dovakto boy, and mahu rachum, afato rachum, mahu chanun, afato chanun, and that life is about tikkun hamidos, and that if tikkun hamidos is the essence of everything. And as Chazal say in the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Lech Lecha, that ma'ich b'sleil HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we shecht from the front or from the back, the whole purpose of mitzvahs is to refine human character. And that emphasis on refinement of character. And I dare say there's a grave danger in this process. Because, and many have complained, many have noticed it, and I think it's a reality. We have so many rules, starting from the Torah's rules, and then we impose, parents impose their own rules. And Moistis HaTorah and Mechanchim, Mechanchos impose their own rules. And when you get so many rules, a little kid gets the message, I'm not responsible for myself. I don't really make decisions. I don't really have any real responsibility for right and wrong because I'm told what to do. And many complain they're pressured what to do. But on the other hand, if they learn that a person is responsible for their own tikkun hamidos. We can guide, we can inspire, we can give them advice, we can give them directives, we can give them examples. And we should be that shining example of midas trumios. Critical, because if we're not, then we mazik them, because that's their role model, and they lost that role model, and if anything, they may have a negative role model. But we can help you, but it's your responsibility. From the youngest age, to learn self-control, to learn chesed, to learn emes, to learn rachamim, to learn savlonus, and all of the midas tevis, and when there's an emphasis on that. You know, somebody once said, imagine maybe he went to this yeshiva many years ago when he was a kid, said that he heard his parents were Holocaust survivors, and he says he never heard them use the expression, a frumme yid. Today everything's about frumkeit. He says, they used to say, the Europeans that came here, an erlich yid, erlich, integrity, person of honesty, a person of truth. That's really what it's all about. And unfortunately, sometimes we use superficial things to cover over the essential in-depth ingredients. And that's a terrible tragedy. So I believe that if we can anything, and this is also something that can always be emphasized in every lesson, in every hanhoga, in every altercation that happens in the classroom. Tikkun hamidos, responsibility for good midos. I think that can make the difference in the future. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to bring with me, didn't have enough copies available, but I would just like to mention that on the Priority One website, these things are downloadable. If you call the office, they could send it to you. I think they're reprinting them now. One is, the latest thing here is A Pathway to Lasting Tshuva, which is all about tikkun hamidos. It's all about midos because the idea is we do tshuva, And the next year we come back, Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, and we say, oh, I'm in the same place I was last year. What happened? Teretz says, Nach biso derocheinu v'nach koiro v'noshuva elecho. The Rambam says, first we have to change the derech. The midos are responsible. So if I wasn't misaking the midos, then the fact that I did tshuva from the actions, I left the midos that brought me there intact, and next year I'm going to do the same thing over again. Very likely. So this is a very good piece. I think it has a lot of ideas. There's a lot of Mar Mekoymus, Beloshon HaKodesh. One can order that. This one, I believe, is just a handbook on Inyonei Chinuch. I believe it's on Amazon. It can be downloaded. I think it's R. Shaya Cohen. It's under that. In Passion Chinuch, or again from our office, they'll be happy to send it to you free of charge, or you could download it from the website. It really has a wide range of issues that Mechanchim should take into consideration. And this is another one, Lasting Emunah and Changing Generation, and to instill a lasting Emunah, also has some very good articles there. I believe it's also on Amazon and the website and can be ordered. And this one has been used for many years, but the principle is very, probably worth more than the material itself, but that is on every parsha, a vort that's mechazik emunah, and another vort that shows us the benefit of the mitzvahs. So I know what's in it for me, and therefore I even want to be mekabel the Torah. Because if I don't know what's in it for me, then it's just a burden. I don't want to be an eved. I want to benefit. I want to appreciate the letoiv loch. This is also something, I don't think it's on Amazon, but it could be, it's on the website and also can be ordered. I thank you very much for this privilege. And I certainly wish everybody that Hashem should give you the greatest hatzlocha. Yimalei Hashem kol mishalos libeichem letoivo, and kol mishalos libeichem al talmideichem letoivo. And we should all be zeicha to have a year to, number one, make up for all the lost time that we had in the previous year, and to be able to see a chinuch l'shem u'tiferes.